Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. This is Travis Hobson of the Punch Drunk Critics and Cinema Royale, and I am back with another interview. This one is for The Laundromat. I had a chance to sit down and talk with the movie's writer, Scott Z. Burns, one of my favorites, and author Jake Bernstein, who wrote the book The Laundromat, which the film is based on. Is directed by Steven Soderbergh. And one of the things that I thought was really interesting about the movie is Burns' approach. Bernstein's book is very serious, very numbers heavy, as you think something based on the Panama Papers scandal would be. If you don't know what the Panama Papers were, it's basically a massive tax evasion scheme. All encompassing. We're talking global, politicians, celebrities, everybody gets swept up in it. But the book is very serious. And the movie, as Burns writes it, is a comedy. And it breaks the fourth wall. It's very silly, kind of told in anthology style as well. It's not the approach you'd come to think. It's almost a little bit like The Big Short, but I think even more leaning on the comedy side. So that was one of the things I really wanted to talk to the two of them about, how they came up with the decision to tackle this heavy subject in that way. So here's my interview with Jake Bernstein and Scott Z. Burns talking about The Laundromat, which is available on Netflix right now. I just watched the film this morning, so still fresh in my mind. I guess I'll start with you, Jake. What made you want to write about the Panama Papers? It's such a dense subject that it seems like, you know, like when I think about it, it's like, oh, these are the games of the rich and famous. It's like, you know, it doesn't seem like it would be able to be something that would draw everybody in. So what made you want to kind of...
So I was the senior reporter for a group called the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists, which was the main media organization that did the investigation of the Panama Papers.
Yeah.
And so I worked on it for a year with them, mainly focusing on Russia and also how rich people use this secrecy world to buy art and sell art and money launder through art.
Mm.
And so when it was done, I was still interested in the topic because it really is, there's so much to it. Even there's trillions of dollars that go through this
mm-hmm.
secret world. And I also was interested in these two characters, right? Ramon Fonseca and Jürgen Mosek, the guys behind the firm, because the nature of these kinds of big investigative projects, you can't really spend a lot of time necessarily with the focus of the investigation because you have to go through the data and spend all that time. And then when you finally approach them, usually a month or two before you publish, you're sending them, you know, 30 pages of questions.
Right.
And the questions are like, did you know that you were, you know, laundering money for, you know, X big criminal or something like that? So
right.
They're not going to like sit down and tell you their life story.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really wanted that piece of it. I was curious about it. And so those were the main sort of drivers for me in writing the book.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I told the book, there was interest from Hollywood, you know, because it was still... very much in the news,
mm-hmm.
You know, when that interest came from Scott and from Soderbergh, it was dream.
It's kind of a similar question for you, Scott, because I guess like I was telling him, it's just, you know, it's a heady subject matter. It's not easy for people to wrap their brains around. I guess my question would be, what made you decide to not just do another journalist piece, because that's what it could have been, and I think that's probably what people expect it to be.
Good question. I love that question.
Yeah.
Well, there were two things. First of all, I had just finished writing a movie that was very much about an investigation.
The Report.
Called The Report, and so I sort of feel whenever I've done one thing,
mm-hmm.
I immediately want to do something else.
Mm.
And that's just always been, I think, how I return to writing. after a project's been finished. So part of it was that, and part of it was very curious about turning the telescope around, and instead of it being about a journalist, about it being how this problem bounces off of an everyday person.
Mm.
And I think that that's always been the struggle with this issue, is we get caught up in these stories of the fabulously wealthy and how they might be money laundering or doing tax avoidance or evasion and what the distinction between those things are. But we don't always get to how this is experienced by a person. Why is this relevant to you?
Right.
If you're not a millionaire or a billionaire. And as it turns out, you know, as it says at the beginning of the movie, to the audience, this movie is about you.
Mm-hmm.
If your kids don't have books at their school, if their teachers are not paid well, if they're the infrastructure is failing in your country, that's because people aren't paying their fair share.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to somehow get that point across, because I felt if I could make the movie relevant to everybody, then it might open their minds to going, okay, how does this work?
Right.
And if I don't have, you know, $100 million to play this game, how am I affected?
So where did the idea to kind of frame it around Mossack Fonseca come in? Because they're really the kind of people guiding you through this. Which is an interesting approach, because, you know, I think the easy thing would be to, you know, just have them be kind of in the shadows as bad guys.
In part because I don't, you know, I'm not financially well-versed. That's not, you know, I'm not an accountant or a banker. And so I had the blessing of having Jake introduce me to this world. And just like he was my guide as a screenwriter, I felt like the audience needed a guide through this world and a guided tour. And because these guys, you know, did have their firm be the, you know, the victim of this breach, I thought it would be a fun construct to allow them to give a tour and try and defend themselves.
Hmm.
And through Jake's help, I was able to Skype with both of them and hear their perspective on how the secrecy world works.
I was just about to ask how much you guys got to speak to them, if at all. And if, because in the movie, they're very kind of, you know, oh, you know, we're just kind of along for the ride here, you know? Is that like an accurate portrayal of how of their attitude, like,
well,
to this sort of situation?
What's so great about the movie, I think, and is absolutely accurate, is that it puts the focus on the system,
mm-hmm.
right? So, I mean, we certainly cannot absolve Jurgen and Ramon for their role in what they did,
mm-hmm.
but it's not just about them, right? I mean, there are people who have already taken their place.
Mm.
You know, it's a larger thing about the system. And so, in that way, it's absolutely accurate. And in presenting them as, you know, as other than sort of one-dimensional characters, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these people have, you know, they have their own motivations and perspectives, and a lot of that is self-justificatory, you know what I mean? But some of it is legitimate, too.
Mm. I was really curious. I mean, there's a lot of characters to kind of go in and out of the movie, but I was really interested in the character of Bonkamper, played by Jeffrey Wright. And I guess what really kind of struck me with him was, like, he seems like a high roller, but then he kind of doesn't. And and I was wondering, is he based on a real person or not?
Absolutely. I mean, pretty much everything in that Bonkamper episode is absolutely true. I mean, down to the collapse in the airport is actually happened. I mean, it's amazing.
It's wild.
And he was. I mean, the guy was. I mean, he was selling his signature for, you know, not that much money.
Jeez.
Per company. I mean.
And, you know, that's the concept that when Jake told me about how this works, I was blown away.
Yeah.
That you basically can become you know, the beneficial, well, you're not the beneficial owner, you're the, what are you called?
Yeah, the beneficial owner.
Yeah.
Oh, no, well, you, oh, the nominee director.
The nominee director. That you can become the nominee, like you or I could become the nominee director of 1,000 companies, and all we have to do is sign our name on a piece of paper, and we don't necessarily, we probably don't know who we're fronting for.
You definitely don't know.
And, you know, we don't know anything other than that we get a few bucks for signing our name on a piece of paper, and we are fronting for God knows what. And that, to me, is so wrong.
Yeah.
Well,
it
represents a certain degree of immorality, right? I mean, it's
And I don't think people understand that that's the system.
Right.
That, you know, if you were a wealthy person, you can set up a shell, and then someone like Mossack Fonseca finds someone like Von Camber, and they pay him a few bucks to sign his name, and you're protected.
That's crazy. Speaking of crazy, I saw the report at Sundance.
Oh.
And I know you said that you like to, you know, kind of take, do different things between movies, but I couldn't help but kind of see some relation between the two. I mean, not just characters, you were kind of fighting against a entrenched kind of thing, but also, I guess in both cases, powerful people creating rules for themselves, and I was just wondering if that was something that kind of drew you doing those things together, or if it was just kind of happened to be that way.
You know, I don't know as a writer that I'm conscious of those things until after the fact, so it's not like I wake up in the morning and decide this is the year where I write scripts about transparency and about accountability. But I do think that I am a person present in a moment of time, and in this moment in time, we tend to have a lot of stories afoot that reflect on the issues of transparency and accountability. And when Jake's book was, you know, put in front of me as a possibility, I just thought that this was an amazing story, that there is someone in the world who goes by the name of John Doe who blew this thing up.
Did you ever find out who John Doe was?
Oh.
Still don't know. Nobody still knows?
Nobody knows.
It's got to come out at some point, though, right?
But that's amazing to me, that this person somewhere in the world, you know, really blew this thing up. And when you look at the world leaders who are implicated, that's no small feat. And so, yes, I do think that, you know, in some ways, Daniel Jones and John Doe are both heroes who have pursued transparency and accountability in systems that have avoided that.
Mm-hmm.
Or just also the idea of the strong making their own rules, right?
Yeah.
Us normal people, you know, operate under a certain system, a certain set of rules, and then if you have enough money or if you're the CIA, you get to make your own rules.
Exactly.
And I think shining a light on that is always a good thing.
It's great. Now we have Jake supporting her. Should just be pressed together for everything.
All right, that's my interview with Scott Z. Burns and Jake Bernstein talking about The Laundromat, which is available now on Netflix. Thanks for listening. I'm Travis Hobbs, and you can find me every day at punchdrunkcritics.com and on Twitter at punchycritic. I hope you enjoyed this. I'll talk to you later.